I put stuff in your DNA from the beginning to make you just who you are. And I knew all the sin, you see, that was going to be in your family line from the beginning. I knew all that stuff, but it didn't intimidate me because I wanted you. And I can take care of all that sin that happened between you and way back when. See, Jesus is the Redeemer, and he has confidence in his redemption. So the fact that my parents or my grandparents or whoever sinned, and the consequences of that sin I felt in my life, that didn't keep God from causing me to be born. He knew all the stuff in my daddy's line. He knew all the stuff in my mama's line. But the only way he could get Gloria was if my mama and my daddy came together and made me. Because that's the way he designed it. So he didn't let all that sin intimidate him or stop him. His purpose was for me. And he can take care of all the bad stuff that's in there. He can heal me of all the pain that's come to me as a consequence of other people's sin. If you've been victimized in your life, if you were victimized in your childhood, if your parents mistreated you, God can take care of that. And he knew that stuff was going to happen to you, but he didn't let it stop. He didn't let it stop him from bringing you forth because he wanted you. And you are a setup. You are a setup from before the foundation of the earth. And God didn't let all that bad stuff stop him from getting you. That's how much he wanted you. And see, he can heal you. And he can redeem all of that bad stuff. It is amazing. I mean, my dad was born out of wedlock, conceived and born out of wedlock. His mother committed suicide when I was 16 years old. He did not meet his father until he was in his 50s. And he ended up preaching his father's funeral, leading him to the Lord and preaching his father's funeral. But all of those things went together to create a whole lot of rejection in my father. A whole lot of feelings of abandonment. He, praise God, he had a grandmother who adopted him and raised him well. But all those other things, I mean, any psychologist sitting in the room would say, man, he's bound to have been a screwed up mess by the time he got grown. You know, his grandfather was holding him on his knee when he was 5 years old, and some boys were shooting a rifle, and a bullet ricocheted and shot him in the back of the head. My daddy's sitting on his lap, and he died, his grandfather, when he didn't have a daddy. And you know, he should have been messed up. He should have been messed up. But when he was 12 years old, some elders from the church always made sure that he went to things at the church. His grandfather had been an elder in the church. And they loved his memory, and they looked after his grandson. And my daddy used to love telling the story about going. They came and got him and took him to a father-son picnic. But there were some boys at that picnic that teased him, called him ugly names because he didn't have a daddy. And he came home, and he was lying in the bed. He was just old enough, 12, to know what they meant when they called him those bad words. And he was lying in the bed, and he was crying. He didn't want to make his grandmother feel bad. You know, because he loved his grandmother and he loved what she was doing for him. So he's crying quietly in bed. And he said, and the Lord came to me. He said, I didn't see him, but I heard him. And he said to me, I am your father. And he said, all of that stuff, in the power of that word, all of that stuff went away. I am your father. He said, I never thought of God as my heavenly father after that. He was my father. And I talked to him when I went to bed at night, just like he was my daddy. And he filled in that big hole that was in my soul. God will do that for you. The things that have hurt you, the places where you feel like a victim. My daddy felt like a victim. He didn't bring any of that stuff on himself. It happened to him out of his control. But God, see, God can take care of that stuff. All that stuff that's been done to you, the places where you feel victimized, the places where you feel fearful and ashamed, all of those places God will touch and heal and redeem. That became the source of power for my dad's life. God so redeemed it. It was the theme of his life that God loves you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Michael and I joined a church one time that didn't believe that God loved everybody. I never was in the room 10 minutes with my daddy without him saying, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget, nothing can, because he was afraid the doctrine of this church was going to infiltrate my security. And so, but he knew that God sovereignly came into the bedroom of a 12-year-old boy who was crying and spoke to him the word that set him free. There's power in the word of God. You get this in you and God will bring it up to you. He'll bring it up to you at opportune times. He will remind you of what's in here, and he'll use it to heal you. And then you start to walk in his redemption and experience those patterns falling off. You know, my daddy was walking in a pattern, feeling abandoned and rejected and insecure, that his life could fall apart at any minute, because he'd seen it happen when his granddaddy died. He'd seen it happen. I mean, he'd never had financial security because he didn't have a provider. That was before they had Social Security. So his grandmother took in sewing and washing to support him and her. So there were a lot of places where he was insecure, but God took care of it. He had tremendous faith. He was a giver. Probably the bottom line motivational gift in his life was giving. He gave away my bed one time. So what I'm saying, I'm not holding him up as some paragon of virtue. What I'm saying is that we've all got patterns. We've all got patterns. It's a part of being human to have these patterns. But your patterns and my patterns are not too big for God. And we're usually aware of the patterns that are causing us the most pain. I think it's one of the reasons why God allows painful pain in our lives, is to push us to see these patterns and bring them to him so that he'll break them off of us. So that's what we're about in the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. To let God break those patterns off of us, but then there's a purpose beyond that in God, that he would be able to use us to help break the patterns off of other people and to advance his kingdom in the earth so he can come again and claim his bride. And we can quit all this painful mess and get on with his plan, you know? The plan that he has. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority, there we are, authority again. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're going to focus on this scripture this afternoon, but I wanted to point out that when God said this, this is this plus the scripture in Acts that we started out with about staying in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. Together, those two scriptures, they're the last words of Jesus, and they form like a prescription for how we're supposed to live. And when he gives this prescription, he gives it on the basis that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He speaks this to us. He declares himself, I am speaking this to you as the one who has all authority in every realm. So he's saying, listen to me and do this. And he's saying it in the strongest way that he could say it. Now, included in that, particularly when he says, and I'll be with you as you're doing this, is that all of that authority in every realm, in every sphere that has been given to him is with us as we're doing this. And it becomes manifested to us through the Holy Spirit. So if you're born again, but you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to get in that place that those disciples did there in Acts of staying before the Lord until you get that power manifested in your life. Because it's going to be real frustrating if you try to serve God and advance His kingdom in your own power and with nothing behind you but your own effort. No matter how resolved and committed you are, you're not going to accomplish what God has in His heart for you to accomplish without the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you've received the Holy Spirit, you also receive... The Holy Spirit is a person. He's got a personality. He's got a character. He's got a voice. He's got gifts. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive all of Him. So whatever He wants to give you, He can give you. He comes with gifts. He has. I personally think that any gift of the Holy Spirit is available to us if it's needed. He prefers to distribute them among us when we're gathered together so that one person doesn't do the whole show. He prefers that we all get to participate. That's why in 1 Corinthians, the instruction about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, where he gives us instructions about what it's supposed to look like when we gather together for corporate worship. But a lot of times we misunderstand what he's saying in those verses because we miss that fact. That he's talking about when you gather together for corporate worship, he says, you can all prophesy, but one at a time, please. Let's keep this decent and in order. And he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, but in a public worship service, I'd rather speak 5 words in a language that you understand because it will edify you than to speak thousands of words in tongues that you don't understand and means nothing to you. So he's advocating doing things in an orderly way when we're gathered together with the body. When we all gather together in one place at one time to worship, there's a certain amount of liberty that we give up. You can speak in tongues the whole time when you're at home in your prayer closet. If you want your whole session to be in tongues, if you want to leap and shout and swing from the rafters, it's perfectly decent and in order for you to do that in your prayer closet. It might not be decent and in order when the whole body's gathered together because you might be a spectacle that detracts from our concentration on the Lord. So that's the kind of thing that he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians, in those verses. But here in Acts, he's talking about you and me, one-on-one with Jesus, and what is required for me to be obedient to what God's calling me to do, which he's told us about in Matthew. For me to make disciples, what do I need? How do I do that? I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in my life, it doesn't say, I will witness. It says, I will be a witness. In other words, it's not about what I'm going to do. It's about who I'm going to become. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, so many doubts that have plagued you about your salvation, about the reality of God, about the supernatural nature of God. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, those things fell away. Because there was no way I could have spoken in tongues if it was supernatural. God let me do it. He did that in me and through me. I could not have done it myself. And so the questions and doubts that I had about who God were, they fell away because it's obvious he was supernatural. How else was I doing this? So there are some elemental things that happen when you receive the Holy Spirit, elemental things in your own soul that happen. Doubts and stuff that get lifted off of you because you get confronted with the Most High God, whose very nature is supernatural. He's not limited to the natural like I am. But he also brings with him his supernatural qualities that work through me so that I can pray for people and they get healed. God can give me words to speak to people that come right from his mouth. And it's like when the Lord spoke to my daddy in his bedroom when he was 12 and says, I am your father. God has given me that word for people. Several times God says, he is your father. And you know what? That old abandonment thing falls right off of them. Because the truth of God's word is with power. There's power in the word of God. And when he speaks the word through you, things happen. Lives get changed. People get affirmed. They find out I'm valuable to God. There are all kinds of things that happen. People get healed through the word of God. Both through reading it in the scriptures, but also when we speak it to one another. That's why prophecy, that's why we love prophecy. Because it's the word of God coming to us. And his power is manifested in it. God gives us words of knowledge. You're sitting in church. And you never noticed this lady before, but you see her over there, and she just looks incredibly sad. God's given you a word of knowledge. There are a lot of other people sitting there in the room, and they're not paying a bit of attention to that woman, but you see her sadness, and it touches your heart. And you start to pray for her, and God will give you a ministry to her. It may be to pray for her. It may be to go speak a word to her. It may be just to go over and put your arm around her and introduce yourself. But whatever God gives you to do, out of that tickling thing of the Holy Spirit where he quickens your spirit about it, it'll bring life to her. Because it's God. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he begins to focus you where God birthed you to be focused. What was in God's heart at the foundation of the earth? When he decided that Joyce was going to be here today, I mean, he knows. It says that every day that was ordained for you was written down in his book before there was any days at all. What was in God's heart for Joyce today? When he caused her to be born from her mother, what plan was in his heart for her? Well, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to quicken the natural things and the spiritual things that work together to form a calling on her life. And so as naturally as putting one foot in front of the other, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you'll begin to walk into your destiny. It just happens because the Holy Spirit's in you. And he combines the things that he put in you naturally through the DNA of your family lines with the supernatural gifts of your spirit, of the Holy Spirit, which, you know, you can read about in 1 Corinthians and in Romans 12. There are several different places in the Bible where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. But there are things that you can't do in your natural power, like bringing healing to a human body or speaking the Word of God or, goodness, working miracles. There are all kinds of gifts. That there's even a supernatural gift of the Spirit called administration. How about that? You think you're organized? Well, when your organization gets linked up with the supernatural gift of administration from the Holy Spirit, it'll look a whole bunch different than it does now. You know, so the Holy Spirit comes in and his purpose, part of what he's doing in your life, he's getting you healed up. He's getting you equipped to do a calling that was ordained for you from the foundation of the earth. And as long as there's breath in your body, that calling is being worked in you by the Holy Spirit. So there's no such thing as retirement for a Christian. There's no such thing as a vacation for a Christian. There's rest. And actually, when we're moving in the Spirit, you know, you don't get tired like you do. It's different. You don't get that soul tired. Anyway, God, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you when to sit down. And he'll tell you when to go take a trip to the beach or the mountains or whatever. But you know, even then, you're on duty. He puts people in your path when you're on vacation. It's just amazing. You're not ever on vacation. You're not ever retired. But he works in your life to combine the natural and the spiritual, because both of them come from him. And to free you of the things that didn't come from him, which releases you to walk more fully in the things that did come from him. And the combination of those natural things and the spiritual gifts forms a call on your life. But all of that comes about supernaturally through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's why it's imperative for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not optional. In the church for so long, we made that optional. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't leave here today till you have. Because you need it. You need the power of God working in your life. I want you to speak in tongues too, and Paul wanted you to speak in tongues. But the main thing I want, that I think the reason that tongues is the way the Holy Spirit most often manifests that he's come in, is number one, so we'll know for sure. There won't be a question. Okay, so and that wipes away all doubt. But the other thing is that the hardest thing to control about us humans is our tongue. And so when you start out moving in the Spirit by giving your mouth, surrendering your mouth to the Lord, it's a pretty dramatic symbolism in there about surrendering your mouth permanently to the Lord, letting him use it. And it makes no sense, so only he could do it. You can't make up a prayer. You can't make up a language. So it's time for lunch. But here's what I want to do. As yes, everybody brought their own lunch, didn't they? Is there anybody who would like for me to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you do, I want to invite you to come up here. And I'm not going to make you a spectacle. A couple of you could come and pray with me for some of them, any of you that would like that kind of prayer, as the others are getting started with lunch. Because it's, I know it was helpful to me to be by myself or in a smaller group when I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if there's anybody who wants prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you haven't gotten freed up in tongues, if you haven't ever spoken in tongues, you prayed, you believe that the Holy Spirit's come, but you haven't gotten released in tongues, and you'd like for me to pray with you about that, I'll be delighted to pray for you about that. But again, sometimes it's easier to receive if you don't feel like you're a spectacle. So while everybody's getting lunch, maybe I'll go ahead and turn the meeting back over to Casey, but I'll be glad to pray for you.
A little more worship, but before we do, Arlene had come to me at lunch and said the Lord had given her a word for us, and so this will help open us up for worship, I know.
It's Daddy's message to us, and he said, "My beloved children, look into my eyes and just see the love that I have for you. It is so deep. Come."